John chapter 10 and verses 7 to 11 is our study for this afternoon. And our subject is the abundant spiritual life. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And here, in this passage, we see our Lord Jesus, the true preacher of the gospel, and he came not as thief, but as a good shepherd, not to cause hurt to anyone, not to destroy, but to save, and to bring no death to any repentant sinner. Unlike the false teachers who are thieves that came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Whereas our Lord Jesus, we see in this text, full of goodness, full of mercy, full of kindness and love, and it works most effectually for the eternal happiness and benefits and blessing for his people. Error indeed is deadly, truth is life-giving. And so we see here in this text, Jesus is come first that his people might have life, everlasting life, eternal life. Secondly, that they may have this life already given to them more and to enjoy more abundantly to the fullest. And so our first consideration here from this text is that Christ came that man may have life. That man may have life. Life in a sense of pardon. Life in a sense of deliverance from eternal damnation. Life in a sense of death penalty. Life is the result of the great work of our Lord Jesus Christ coming into this sin-cursed world to redeem sinners, to bring his people back to himself. All men, all women, all boys and girls, natural in our condition, are under the sentence of death, for they have sinned. We have rebelled against God, just like our first parents did. And so we are taken to the place of execution. We are taken to the place of judgment, to suffer the penalty of the second death, which all of us as sinners deserve, if not for the mercy of the Lord. If any of us are delivered at this time from the sentence of death, and have now the promise of life everlasting, have the promise of the crown of life, we must indeed be thankful. Thankful that God, out of his great mercy, has delivered us from that sentence. And we owe the new life in Christ. We owe the Lord Jesus the change from death to life, to the coming of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. We owe a gratitude to our Savior for the sacrifice that he made for our sin. Every man among us must go down to the endless death unless through Christ, who came to earth and hung upon the tree of Calvary as our substitute, as the sinner's substitute. We obtain full remission for our offenses, for our guilt, and the verdict of life instead of death. Indeed, we give thanks to God that one look at the Lord Jesus, turning to him in faith and believing in him, gives us the deliverance from death to life. Moreover, we are by nature, as we are told, and this morning we have mentioned it also, that we are dead in sin and trespasses. In the day when our first parents broke the law, they died spiritually, and all of us, after Adam and Eve, we all died in in Adam and Eve. And so apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, we are all dead to spiritual things. We are void or devoid or being devoid of that living spirit which enable us to have communion with our God the Creator and to understand and to enjoy spiritual things. Unregenerate men, women, boys and girls have physical life, mental life, but they have not spiritual life. We do not have spiritual life, nor will we ever have it except as Jesus gives it to us. No man among us has any life in the spirit by birth. Neither can it be bestowed upon us by ceremonies, by our human effort and our human merit. The dead cannot rise to life except by divine miracle. Neither can man rise to spiritual life except by the working of the Spirit of God upon her, upon him. The Holy Spirit alone is the only one who can quicken, who can make us alive in Christ. Christ Jesus has come to call us from the grave of sin, and many of us, and here in this congregation, I trust that all of you here, you have heard his voice, and therefore you live, because as his sheep, you hear his voice and you follow him. The spiritual life, while here on earth, is the same life which will be continued and perfected in heaven. As we finish our pilgrim journey here, brethren, you and I will live on in this life on the other side of eternity. And therefore we must be made alive now unto God while on this earth, or else we will be in hell where the worm dies not and where the fire is not quenched. The truth that Jesus our Lord is the life giver is clear enough in our text. Life for our souls is not only to be had in the Lord Jesus. Spiritual life, as you know, is not the result of working. How can those who are spiritually dead work for life? The gospel preaches life by Jesus Christ, and so that is where the sinner must look to. You and I must look right in the right way, away from ourselves to the Lord Jesus. You and I must rely upon what Christ has done and not upon what you and I can do. And you must have respect not to what you can work in yourself, but to what Christ can work in you. Remember God's word that whosoever believe in him, referring to Jesus, should not perish but have eternal life. John 3:15. So, if you are enabled by the Spirit of God to come and cast yourself wholly upon the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, praise and thank God that the Spirit has begun that work in you, and the Lord Jesus can give it to you freely at this moment, and you cannot work it in yourself. Therefore, I urge you to look unto the Lord Jesus alone, to look to God alone in Jesus Christ, who came that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. If we could have obtained everlasting life without his coming, then why does the Lord Jesus need to come? To come to this sin-cursed world, to die on the cross of Calvary, if we can generate eternal life for ourselves. If eternal life can come to us, sinners, apart from the cross, then why do we need to nail the Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory, to the shameful tree? Why the bleeding wounds of our Savior Emmanuel, if life could come to us by some other ways? Yet further, why did the Spirit of God descend at Pentecost if sinners can be made alive without the work of the Holy Spirit? If life is to be obtained apart from the Spirit of God, to what purpose does the Spirit of God work in the hearts of sinners? The bleeding Jesus and the indwelling Holy Spirit are convincing proofs that our life is not from ourselves, but from above, from God, the Creator. So seek not the living among the dead. Search not in yourself for life divine, Brethren and friends, the life of God in the soul of man is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in Him alone, and whosoever believes in Him shall never die. I just want to right now move on to the second part of our text, and that is that they might have it more abundantly. And I'd like to spend a little bit more time on this second part of our text. Our second head is Christ came that those who have life in Him, those who have whom He has given this life, may have it more abundantly. May have it more abundantly. Is it possible for a truly born again believer, a regenerated Christian, to have this eternal life, this everlasting life, this new life in the Lord Jesus Christ more abundantly? Yes, it is possible. But why is it that so many Christians are not having it? And so, I like to bring out a few ways in which we can, as Christian believers, with the help of God, to have that, to enjoy this new life in Christ more abundantly. Life is a matter of degrees. Christ came that His people might have life in all its fullness. That's what God has designed for us. Increase of life may be seen in several ways, and I'd like to suggest to you. Firstly, increase of life in Christ can be seen in healing. A man lies sick upon his bed. He is alive, but he can hardly move his legs or his hands. He is helpless, helplessly dependent upon those around him. There is life in him, but how little of its power, of its vitality. Now, if that man recovers, if that man rises from his bed and returns to full health and strength and vigor, is it not evident that right now life has more abundant than in his time of sickness or illness? So even so for us, there are many sick Christians, weak Christians. Their spiritual condition or constitution is weak. They do but little. When the Lord Jesus Christ restore them, when the Lord Jesus Christ strengthen them or increase their faith, brightens their hope and makes them spiritually healthy, then they not only have life, but they have it more abundantly. Our Lord Jesus desire to give us such abundant life. He desired that we be in spiritual health. He has for that end became the physician of our soul. He heals all our illnesses, diseases, and is the health of our hearts. A Christian may, however, be in health, yet he or she may desire more life. Do you have such a desire, brethren? As a Christian believer, as a born-again believer, do you desire to have this life in Christ more abundantly? Take for instance a little child. A child may be in perfect health, isn't it? But yet, in the beginning, it cannot run. It cannot run alone. It needs help. It needs support. Then put the child on the ground. It totters a little and is ready to fall. Why? Because those bones in the child must be hardened, must be strengthened. The muscle must gather strength. And when the boy becomes a man, he will have life more abundantly than he was as a baby. Likewise, Christian believers grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We advance in the knowledge of God. We advance in experience. We advance in confidence. And we advance in conformity to the image of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. How? By the work of the Holy Spirit. And Christians need to seek and pray that the Holy Spirit will continue that work in us. From babies in Christ Jesus, we advance to young men and young women. And from young men and young women, we became fathers and mothers in the Church of Christ. So the Lord Jesus would have us grow. It is the design of the Lord that every child of God redeemed by the blood of Christ must grow. Grow spiritually. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And this is one of the purposes of Christ's coming, so that we may possess not only life, but possess this life more abundantly. Besides, there are Christians who may, however, have both health and growth. We do that. We see that. And yet they enjoy only a minimal measure of life. Sad. There are such Christians. Yes, they may have health and growth, but it is a low measure of this life, though they can still have more abundant life. These Christians are like the poor. Are like the poor who merely exist, but they do not live. So sometimes there are believers who rather exist than live. They are spiritually starving. They do not feed upon the promises of God, and they do not enjoy the rich things which Christ has stored up for them in the covenant of grace. However, when they repent, when they turn once again to the Lord Jesus, He enables them to partake what Isaiah describes as, in Isaiah 25 verse 6, the Lord Jesus, when they turn to the Lord Jesus and call upon Him to restore them, to refresh them, then the Lord Jesus will enable them to partake what Isaiah described as fat things of full of marrows, of wines on the lees, well refined. And this is a picture of a luxuriant feast that the Lord Jesus will give to those who come to Him to enjoy this new life in Christ more abundantly. That they will not only have life, but they will have it more abundantly. I have so far pointed generally, briefly, several ways this new life in Christ may be increased abundantly for us, the believers. And as I said, you and I need to seek it. You and I need to ask that the Lord will give us more, will bless us with more of this life, to enjoy the fullness of this new life in Christ. Now I would like to set forth three particular areas in which Christian believers should seek after more abundant life. First, let us desire more stamina. More stamina. Our Lord Jesus has come that in a spiritual sense we might have stamina. We may have stamina that we may be more established and steadfast in our faith, well-founded, well-furnished, well-established, confirmed and rigorous life, so that we may live a life of vibrancy and vigor. The Lord Jesus would have us walk without weariness and run without fainting. He would have us quit ourselves like men and be strong. So brethren, do you not see in Scripture a great difference? A great difference between some Christians and others. Are not some of God's people spiritual invalids? They believe, but more often than not, they doubt. They live their Christian life with their heads hanging down. They hope, but fear. Fear is almost as fully in possession of their hearts. They believe, but they know not why, and cannot give a reason for the hope which is in them. And so they need to turn back to the Savior, the Lord Jesus, for a spiritual revival. Those who have life more abundantly are good soldiers. How do we know that we have life more abundantly? First of all, we know because they are good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have learned to stand fast in the truth. And by the mercy and the blessing of the Lord, the enabling of the Holy Spirit, they are more than a match for the false teachers, for those who teach false teachings. They are more than a match. They are able to know the truth from error, for they know what they know, and are able to put to silence the deceptions of deceivers. They are not carried away with every wind of doctrine that abide in the truth as they have been taught. They are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And I pray, and we all need to pray for ourselves and for each other, that every member in our congregation, every member in the body of Christ, may be man, woman of inward stamina. And we need that stamina, this spiritual stamina, through the Holy Spirit. And we need to seek it, we need to pray for it, that God will pour forth this blessing for us, upon us. And so that we will be able to stand. And if you are one with this inward stamina, I urge you, look out for the weaker brethren who may not have such a stamina like you, that you may be of support and encouragement to them, and to pray for them, that they too may join with you and be infused with this inward stamina for the Lord to persevere in their pilgrim journey. Secondly, believers in Christ become more abundant as our spiritual power are brought into exercise. We need to exercise our spiritual gifts. We need to exercise spiritual powers through the Lord, through the Holy Spirit. Christ has come to give us a full life, or fuller life than we have yet attained. Look at the apostles. Look at the apostles. Turn back to the book of Acts, and you see, before Pentecost, or rather, look back at the Gospels before that great event, Pentecost. Before Pentecost, when you look at the apostles, when you look at the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, what are they? They are all very immature in their faith. Immature scholars. They were all what? Wrangling and fighting. Ambitious. All striving to sit the number one seat. Contentious among themselves. But look at them. Look at them when the Lord Jesus has given them the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. What different men they were they not? Do you not see the difference in them? Would you believe that the Peter of the Gospel could be the same person as the Peter of the book of Acts, or in the book of Acts? Yet you see, Peter, he was the self same man. Pentecost has developed in him new powers. We hear him saying, "I know not Jesus," in the Gospel. He denied Christ, not just once, 3 times. And after a few weeks, see him once again in the book of Acts. He is standing up in the midst of the Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites. What did he do? He boldly, without fear of man, boldly preaching Christ. And so I ask, what has happened to this man? What has happened to Peter and the rest of the other disciples of the Lord Jesus? They were young in faith. They were fighting, striving. They know not the scripture. But now, when they are infused with the Holy Spirit, Christ has given them life more abundantly, and he has developed in himself, Peter, this power which was concealed before. Brethren, you and I must pray, yes, but if God give you more life, pray that the Lord will give you more of this life abundantly to the fullest. Let every true Christian earnestly plead with the Lord Jesus to make you all, to make you and I all we can be. Say to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, nurture in me all the spiritual graces, powers, and faculties by which I can glorify Thee.
to the fullest of my whole being, use me. Pray this prayer earnestly. Ask the Lord to send a full stream of life, the life of the Holy Spirit, the life of God into you, into your soul, to wake you up. And that all that is within you may magnify and glorify His holy name as you live your life as pilgrims in this world. Make this your earnest daily prayer in earnestness. Thirdly, life eternal, a new life in Christ. When it is in abundance, it becomes supreme. What do I mean by that? Christians should have an abundant life that their circumstances should not be able to overcome them. This abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ is not dependent upon our circumstances. Abundant life that is in poverty, they are rich. Abundant life that in sickness, they are in spiritual health. In contempt, they are full of triumph. And in death, full of glory. That is the abundant life. It is not abundant life where everything is smooth sailing for us. It is not abundant life when I have all the wealth and money in the world. It is not abundant life when my health is well, everything is well. No, this abundant life in Christ is abundant to its fullest, despite whatever our circumstances. Glorious is the life which defies circumstances. Christ has given to a regenerated Christian a supreme life. Supreme in its tenacity, it cannot be destroyed, none can cut it down. Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? You know this text, brethren, do you not? In Romans, neither things present nor things to come shall ever avail to do this. We have life so abundantly that it triumphs over all. Over our sorrow, over our tears, over our failures. It triumphs over all. What I desire beyond everything is to have this life so abundantly that it may be supreme over my entire self. However, we must not forget, and we must humbly acknowledge that there is still this old sinful corruption in us, in every Christian believer. There is still this old corruption in us struggling in our new life in Christ, isn't it? As Paul describes it in Romans chapter 7. Our life in Christ has destroyed death. Yes, indeed. And it holds beneath its feet. But tremendous is the struggle of this old corruption, isn't it? To rise again, to overcome the new. And therefore Christians are in the spiritual battle all the time. Brethren, do not give up. We have all the help that we need to overcome this old nature in us. Brethren, we must hold still. Hold down still this existing corruption in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can do so. We must grip it with the bands of iron. Hold it down in the power of the Spirit. Plant the knee of prayer upon this old corrupt self. Press it to the earth. We must not allow sin to have dominion over us. But life more abundant must, through grace, triumph over inward corruption. And this is our struggle, this is a reality that every Christian must face. But thanks be to God, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8. O wretched man that I am, but thanks be to God, we have life and help, and we can overcome, and in fact we overcame in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, you may overcome this old corruption. God's grace being in you, you may overcome. As long as you have grace of God and the Holy Spirit, you will be able to overcome. However, we must not go to the other extreme and to think that we will be able to attain perfect holiness while on this side of the grave. We will not be. Our spiritual struggle, our spiritual battle between the old self and the new self will continue as long as we are on this side of eternity. We will not be able to achieve or attain or overcome this sinful corruption unto perfection. But in the strength of God, the life of God which is in you may be increased and must increase and shall be increased by the Holy Spirit. For Christ has come to increase it, and that is why our text says, I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so therefore it is possible for us Christians, though we will not be able to overcome perfectly our old nature, but yet we are able to enjoy this new life in Christ while living in this sin-cursed world, facing all this temptation and influences of the world. We are able by the Spirit to live this life abundantly. Therefore, if you want eternal life, you must have it from Christ alone. If you want the life of Christ in you more abundantly, you must also go to Christ. No one else. Do not look to Christ for the beginning and then look somewhere else for the endings. No. Christ has come that you might have life, more life. Come to Him by faith. Do not look to ceremonies or any outward practices or services or anything else for growth in grace apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. But fly to Christ. Fly to Him and He will give unto you this abundant life. And you shall be rich indeed to all intents of bliss. God grants that you may have this great blessing for Jesus' sake. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for such a promise. Lord, we must confess that oftentimes we do not enjoy this new life in the Lord Jesus Christ because we do not seek after it, because we grow cold towards Thee. We forsake Thee, we forget Thee, we turn to ourselves for help, for strength. O Heavenly Father, forgive us how foolish we are, and oftentimes we are not living this life that You have given to us to the fullest because of our pride, because of our not seeking after Thee and walking close to Thee. O Lord, forgive us for our backsliding. And we pray that Thou will increase our faith, our hope, and our trust in Thee. And that, Lord, we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by living this life to the fullest, abundantly, that we may testify of Christ's power, of Christ's grace, of Christ's love, of Christ's wisdom, and of His glory. So help us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.